Welcome to Authors First on the Artists First World Radio Network, artistsfirst.com. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for joining us, everyone worldwide. If you are an author, independent recorded artist, or have a great idea for a weekly show, we'd love to hear from you. Simply follow the links provided at artistsfirst.com. All broadcasts available in MP3 format, free on demand. So be sure to share the content with everyone you know on your social network sites, Facebook, Twitter. And there are so many opportunities to let the world know about the good news. And of course, we've got good news for you in our guest today, who has been blessed by God and has a vision of her role in this wonderful world. Yes, I'll back off. I'm a little hot. But our guest this hour, the lovely, the gracious S. Denise Newton, author of Two Continents, One Hope. And for your convenience, we have the web link placed on our home page. Let's give a warm Artist First welcome to our guest. How do you do, Denise?
I am well, thank you so much, and I'm just so excited and just so grateful for the opportunity to share this time with you.
Well, I really have my mic hot, okay? So that's what I was referring to. I know you're gorgeous. You're a lovely gift, a flower from heaven. And God bless you, sister. You're in Vineland, New Jersey.
Yes, I'm from Vineland, New Jersey, but I'm currently in Wilson, North Carolina.
So if our audience wanted to meet you on Sunday morning, where would they go?
Well, they would meet me at Contending for the Faith Church Ministries in Wilson, North Carolina, because that's where I'll be every Sunday at 9:45 for Bible for Sunday school.
Praise God, and welcome listeners from every nation on earth. Thank you for joining Artists First Radio and Authors First with Tony Kay and Denise, our special guest this hour, author of Two Continents, One Hope. You've had a history of faith in your family, and but I imagine none of us really know what direction God will take us in our life. What about yourself, Denise? How did you find yourself at this particular moment and this topic, Two Continents, One Hope?
Well, and thank you so much for that question. It just all started with me. I'm one that pay attention to my surroundings. And one of the things that troubled me so much, and I found myself being troubled quite frequently by what I see and how people seem to just enjoy hurting each other, how people just seem to enjoy, you know, animosity and hatred and all kinds of negative things, you know, that there just seem to be so much disunity in the world, so much people just not having enough caring and concern and love and compassion for one another. And things like that really do trouble me. So, you know, and of course, being an African-American, I see it, you know, so much in the African-American community, especially with the high rate of homicides, gang violence, gun violence, educational suicide, so many things that are going on, and my spirit was often troubled. And I had a blessed opportunity in 2011, in November, actually, to travel to South Africa for a couple of weeks, and I was in Zimbabwe. And while there, you know, I was just had a chance to witness up front the devastation of the AIDS pandemic there and what it's doing to the continent in general. Anytime people are not living to see the age of 40, you know, it's pretty bad. The life expectancy right now for a lot of the South Africans are under age 40. It's about 37. And to see that, and to see the economic turmoil that they're in, the dire poverty, a lot of the hopelessness that I saw in Africa, and then coming back to America, of course, to news reports of, you know, all of the, like I said, the murders, the gang violence, the high rates of imprisonment. Our kids are becoming sexually active, younger and younger, and I just see all of this chaos around me, and I just felt that God started speaking to my spirit to write something that will kind of get people's attention. And of course, I know people know that these things are going on. But all at the same time, you know, I wanted to write a book that says, listen, no matter what, who we are, you know, race, creed, ethnicity, we are yet all one people because we come from one creator. And I just don't understand, you know, why we continue to just, you know, engage in all of this destruction. And so it's really just a way of creating awareness of those ills that are destroying us as a people and praying hard that over time we would start the reversal process.
Two Continents, One Hope, Searching the Atlantic for the Souls of Black People, by our guest this hour, Denise Newton. Thank you for joining us and for your passion about this topic. And you're right, you wonder how things are passed on from generation to generation that are so corruptible when it comes to crime on another human being.
Yes.
It's just deplorable. You say these people are just nuts. They're just crazy, you know?
Yes.
I mean, and I live in the great state of Ohio, and we're not immune to serial killers. And it's just amazing what's reported in the news today. And I think that our world in a large degree is a smaller place because information can travel instantaneously and reach so many. So everyone out there listening to the sound of our voice, this is a book of hope. Two Continents, One Hope. This is an answer through Christ Jesus and the way that your life can be transformed into something you can't imagine. And it's only good. only good. So God bless you, sister, for taking this attention, traveling. This is so exciting, authors, those of you listening right now, having the capability of traveling somewhere and then writing about that journey. The flavors, the smell, the color, the air itself, the soil, the way that it feels on your feet and in your hands, everything brings back something genetically inside of us if we have a heritage there.
Absolutely. You're absolutely right. And I can tell you, too, you know, and being, and I was in an, I worked in an orphanage of the Mustard Seed Orphanage in Bulawayo while I was there, and also the Massavisa Primary School. And to go there and see children, you know, without desks, they don't have desks or tables, they sit on the concrete floors where there's huge potholes. But these children learn. They are just brilliant. They're very articulate. They're very smart. And their national theme right now is education is the way out of poverty. And they're really embracing education. But to look at how they have to live is very heartbreaking to me that, you know, some of them only get a decent meal about every 2 days. And a half decent meal anyway. And to go to the orphanage where, you know, about 80% of the children are AIDS orphans, and most of them are AIDS patients themselves, HIV positive, you know, that's very heartbreaking. And I think there's so much more that has to be done by way of education where these things are concerned to remove the stigma in order for us to really confront the problem head on and to try to stop this this AIDS pandemic that is really threatening annihilation, especially where the black race is concerned.
I'm delighted to introduce our guest. One of your other hats that you wear proudly, in addition to being a devout Christian and a woman of faith, you're an activist.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to sit on your hands. It's another thing to say, I'm going to get out there and put these hands to work.
Yes. Absolutely. And that's very important because it goes right to what the scriptures say, that faith without works is dead. You know, we could say that we believe, and I do believe that God himself have equipped all of us with an ability to make a difference. And it doesn't matter what your particular talent or gift is, if you have to be willing to use it for the betterment of humanity. And if all of us would take that position that we're going to use those terrific and awesome gifts that God has endowed all of us with, and to use them collectively, we wouldn't have all of this rampant violence and chaos and hopelessness that's just gripping the planet right now. But there's too many of us, I think we're kind of gun-shy about getting involved. We're afraid. But you know, Tony, I'm really convinced at this point that some of us are going to have to be willing to become martyrs in order to see some significant changes for our future generations.
Well, that's been the case from day one in mm-hmm. our Christian faith. Martyred for the faith
yes.
in the New Testament and beyond, of course, in the book of Acts and beyond into history, always mm-hmm. that possibility that you will be called upon ultimately to die for what you believe in.
That's right.
And you could find yourself ministering, serving those who have HIV, AIDS mm-hmm. in Africa mm-hmm. and contract the disease yourself.
Absolutely.
That is always a possibility mm-hmm. of that type of hands-on, I'm going to go there and I'm going to do what I can. Mm-hmm. And audience, you can do what we're talking about, too. You can get involved. Go to S. Denise, D-E-N-I-C-E, Newton, N-E-W-T-O-N, .Weebly, W-E-E-B-L-Y.com, and you can learn more about ROAR, Two Continents, yes. One Hope, and how you can get involved. So please do that. This is your chance, and when you're listening to the archive of this show, you'll be able to back it up and write down what I just said, or simply go to artistfirst.com, all one word, artistfirst.com, and download it. Just go there right now. Make a contribution. Get involved with what we're talking about. And it's not often that we have authors on our network that have a book that motivates you to become proactive in a topic and that crosses culture, yes. continents, mm-hmm. crosses generations, young mm-hmm. and old,
yes.
all of us can be involved yes. in Two Continents, One Hope. And so thank you, Denise, for putting together a book that is of that import. And I know that future generations will really appreciate it. And if you're a pastor in a church or a teacher, just buy multiple copies. Make it a topic for your church.
Thank you. Definitely, that's what we're going to have to do, because I just don't like the direction. I'm also a teacher. I'm in education, and I'm tired of seeing this stuff passed down to our children. Somewhere down the line, we have to become better advocates for our children and protecting them and you know, being willing to teach and to be models, not just talk the talk, but walk the walk, and let them see us making good decisions and doing the right thing. So I'm very passionate about that as well.
What fun. I'm glad to see that you have all of the spokes in proper balance in your new home, where you're at now, the church you're involved mm-hmm. with, this trip, your book, and all the things you're doing with ROAR, which we'll talk about later. So the book. Now, let's think about this. What came first, Denise? Were you thinking, I'm going to write a book? I need to go there. This is the topic. What came first for you?
Well, I have to tell
how did you
God
end up? How
really,
did you
really?
Yeah.
Whoever coined the phrase that you know, God is mysterious. He works in mysterious ways. They really knew what they were talking about. I know that God had been a present for me for years to write a book, and I just became complacent. And plus, I'm a former U.S. Army veteran, so traveling is in me. I've pretty much traveled around the globe. But initially the book was going to be called Weapons of Black Destruction, because my focus was on what I see here in the African-American community in the United States and all of the just the utter chaos that goes on daily. And I was actually, God gave me to pinpoint certain weapons. And when I say these weapons, we're talking not just violence and you know, the education, but we're also talking about preventable diseases, you know, just things that we could do to prevent some of these things from happening to us by making better choices and making better decisions. But last year, and I was going to have a talk radio show that I do on Blog Talk Radio each Tuesday, and tonight we forfeited that show so I could be with you, and I'm very happy that I did that. But I was interviewing a lady on my show from Africa who was advocating on behalf of orphans. There's over 18 million AIDS orphans in Africa right now because of I don't think we understand here in America how severe the AIDS epidemic is in Africa. And she came on the radio show to talk about it, and I interviewed her, and afterwards she wanted me to go on one of the trips that she takes yearly to Africa. And I met her in August of last year, and in November we were in Zimbabwe. But what came first, Tony, honestly, was just, once I got there, God changed the whole focus of the book. He changed it from focusing on the ills of Black America to looking at what's happening around the globe in general. And it was really strange because as I was flying over the Atlantic Ocean from New York to London, and God just brought back to my mind the transatlantic slave trade. Not brought back to my mind, I've never been there, but I thought about the slave trade and the horrors that was associated with that, and I think that's where so much of the problem with Black people really started there. You know, and I used the Atlantic Ocean figuratively in the sense that we lost our souls in the Atlantic Ocean through the slave trade, and it's time to organize a diving expedition, if you will, to retrieve those souls so that we can, once again stand strong and confront these demons that are ravaging our lives, our communities, our homes. And so when I got to Africa, and first of all, the continent was, I wasn't on the entire continent, but in South Africa was absolutely beautiful, more beautiful than I would have ever expected. And the things that I never saw greener greens or browner browns or redder reds. It's like everything there was pristine. And to stand at the Victoria Falls and watch that cascade of water flowing and seeing the beauty of God's creation. And at the bottom of the Victoria Falls, able to see rainbows actually at the bottom of the falls, something, it was just awe-inspiring to me. And then to be out in nature, actually walk with lions. I petted a lion and rubbed his belly and walked with him and rode an elephant, and just being exposed to nature and just seeing the beauty of creation from a different perspective. Sometimes I think we don't stop and enjoy and appreciate what God has given us. And that was a time, I think, it was very therapeutic for me. There was a time when he did stop, I slowed down, I was able to really take in the beauty of what he has given to us and pray that we don't continue to destroy the planet. But, it was just it was just awesome. And then I just learned so much from the children there, these children who are in dire poverty, Tony, that sang us a welcome song that said, Jesus is good. And I have to tell you that was at first a bit perplexing for me to hear these babies that don't get enough to eat. Most of them are ravaged by different illnesses, to stand there and say to us, Jesus is good. And that was really like, that just changed my whole perspective when I saw that. Because if they can still appreciate and honor God under those conditions, we have absolutely no excuses, those of us that are not in the conditions that they're in. And then to have them to say to me, can you get us Bibles? Because they had a whole village sharing one Bible. And they said, we need more Bibles. And I said, when I get back to America, I'm going to do what I can to ensure that I get Bibles to that village. And I've been collecting Bibles for the last 2 months, and I'm going to ship over there shortly. But, and it just changed my whole focus. And when I came back to the United States and saw how so many of us got so much and don't have an appreciation for what we have, you know, and then again, you know, it just grieved my spirit so much. So I just began to talk on it and go into different youth groups and summer camps and just telling the children to get a greater appreciation for God and what he means to us and what he has done for us. And in turn, try to reach out to somebody else, because even our worst situations here in America are still better than most of their best in Africa.
Many Christians listening right now are familiar with the New Testament passages where the audience would become appalled that Jesus of Nazareth would reach out and touch a leper, the blind, the cripple. These were unclean diseased, the refuse of the earth. And brothers and sisters, we, until we go there and actually see them and touch them, how can we relate to our Lord Jesus? And you've had that experience. It's in your spirit now. It's a permanent part of who you are. You'll never forget it.
Absolutely.
In your spiritual quest to know God and serve his purpose in this life.
Absolutely. And you know, Tony, while I was there at the orphanage, at the Mustard Seed Orphanage, I was holding a baby in my arms. I didn't know how old he was, but I picked him up. And a lot of these children had the physical deformities, especially in the feet, in which we actually took wheelchairs there. And there were four children who got off the floor for the first time because they couldn't walk, but we took wheelchairs, and they were in wheelchairs, and it was just so beautiful watching them respond to that. It was just amazing. But I was holding a baby in my arms who was only, I didn't know he was 3 years old because he was about the size of a six-month-old. And I was told later that, and they said that this child had never shown any type of emotion or reaction to anything, but I held this child and he snarled at me. And I later found that this baby, I found out later this baby was thrown in the trash. His mother had AIDS, and the father had already passed away from AIDS, and the mother had AIDS, and she knew that the baby had AIDS, and she had no way of taking care of the child, so she put him in the trash. And so, you know, that really, really profoundly touched me to hold a child that, you know, that was not wanted, and for this child to smile at me, especially after being told that he never really showed emotion before, and I just felt that God was working for me at that point, you know, to reach that child, and I just held him, you know, as long as I could, and I just think we have to do more of those things. You know, God never told us that our faith walk, that being a Christian, meant that we were going to have all of these rosy days where everything was going to be clean and beautiful and pristine and, you know, sterile and all of these things. Sometimes we have to get down in the muck and mire, you know, in order to help someone else get out of the muck and mire. We're going to have to be willing to do that. So that's one of the things that God taught me, true humility, when I was there. I thought I knew the meaning of the word humility before I went there, but I didn't know humility until I went there. And the children, the people humbled me because, again, in their worst, which is still better, our worst is still better than their best, but they treated us as though we were going into Beverly Hills mansions, as though we were the most important people in the world. And it was pure from the heart. It wasn't just a thing where they were just doing that because it's something they're accustomed to doing. They really meant welcome. We're glad you're here. And to be called Sister Moses is what one of the villagers called me. And I couldn't understand. And I said, well, why would you call me Sister Moses? And she said, because you came to see about us. And I just, you know, I couldn't contain the tears at that point. You know, it was just amazing. I just have no other descriptors to use, except it was life-changing, and it was definitely amazing. And my life has changed as a result.
Denise, two powerful moments. Your arrival, the scene, the image, the poverty, the sickness, the starvation, there you are, and then you're leaving.
Mm-hmm. Well, the arrival, my goodness, when I first got there, we went through Johannesburg. We spent a day or so in Johannesburg, which was just like being in New York City or L.A. or someplace, big modern city, very beautiful. You know, that was one thing to witness. And then to go from there to the rural areas of Zimbabwe, where the people are living on what is the equivalent of 20 cents a month, was certainly a downer, of, you know, to go there and to see, to go to that. But the people, you know, Tony, the people didn't seem crushed. Yes, they were hungry. Yes, they were without. We fed them. We took food. We took supplies. They don't have running water. They don't have electricity or anything like that. But they were just, you know, but they talked to us. I learned history. I learned more about myself as an African than I ever did in history books here in America. So, you know, that was amazing. And then just to interact with the villagers and the children, and they sang to us every day, and they performed for us. They did biblical skits. They reenacted the birth of Christ for us, the baby in the manger, that type of thing. And to interact with them like that, and when we were leaving the village to prepare to come back, it was bitter, really, really bittersweet for me, because yes, I was ready to come home back to electricity and running water and food that I'm accustomed to eating, but all at the same time, it was hard to leave them because they became a part of me while I was there. I became a part of them. I didn't feel like I was in a foreign place or a strange place. I felt as though I belonged there. There was nothing about being there that was unfamiliar, but I almost felt, I felt as though I really didn't want to leave the children. If I could have just scooped them all up somehow and brought them back with me, I would have done that. So it was really bittersweet. And, you know, and then again to come back home to, you know, the comfort of a bed and power and food and you know, classrooms that have computers and lights and desks and chairs and things like that. It just let me know at that point that God was calling me to a higher, much higher platform, because in these days that we're living in, people have to know that in all the evil that surrounds us daily, there is still a lot of good out there, and it often gets overshadowed because we go by these media images that we see. The media is going to present the worst in everything, but those that are without hope have to know that there still yet remains a blessed hope. But the Christians, those of us who are believers, true believers, we have to show them that there is still hope, even in the midst of the chaos. And that there's going to be a glorious day when we don't have to be concerned about these things anymore, because they're going to be over. So to directly answer your question, I went there with this anticipation that I knew what I was going to see, but I didn't know how severe it would be. I knew I was going to see poverty. I knew I was going to see sickness. I knew I was going to see people that just, that was just lacking in every way. I didn't know the depth of it. And then coming back, it was hard to leave them because I just feel like I want to do more. I came back saying, okay, God, if you will open the doors that I need to be open, and if you would put me on the path for this calling, this great calling that you've given me, I will walk in that calling, and I will do whatever you bid me to do. And I really mean that, and I've availed myself to God for that, because people shouldn't have to suffer in the way that those people are suffering.
S. Denise Newton, our guest on Authors First, Tony Kay in the studio. Questions or comments, well, send them to our guest. Visit the website sdenicenewton.weebly.com for more information on our guest. Roar the Book. Fabulous website. Thank you so much, Denise, for being our guest, for supporting the arts on Artist First Radio, and sharing your compelling story to our listeners worldwide. Be sure to share the archives with everyone you know on Twitter and Facebook and all of your social network sites. The shows are MP3 formatted for that purpose. Thanks for joining us. Be sure to buy the book. This is an interview your pastor, your teachers need to be aware of. It's a fabulous topic, something that should be certainly taught in the churches. So God bless you, brothers and sisters, for bringing this to other people, leaders and visionaries that you know who would feel equally passionate about this topic. S. Denise Newton, talk radio host, I believe, on Blog Talk.
Yes.
Author, activist, inspirational speaker. Denise, does that mean you're available for speaking engagements if someone wanted you to come to their group or church?
Absolutely. When I told God I'll avail myself, if you want me in California, I'll get there. If you want me in Alaska, I'll go there too. So absolutely.
And they can do that by following the link we've provided. Are there other websites they should be aware of? Are you on Facebook or Twitter?
I am on Facebook. It's facebook.com. S. Denise Newton Afterthoughts is what you go in, because that's the name of another radio show that I do, which is called Afterthoughts. And I'm also on Twitter, S. Denise Newton. That's my handle there on Twitter. I'm glad to hear from any of you. I mean, just contact me if you just want to say hello. I just love people, and I would love to get to know you.
You have a fabulous website. Well done. Congratulations.
Thank
Someone
you.
Out there help you with this, or is this another skill you've acquired?
You know, Tony, it's actually, I did it myself. I think about it. I know the message I want to convey, and even though, yes, I could have paid astronomical fees to have someone to do it for me, but I wanted to keep it simple, and I wanted to just make it have relevant information there. So to answer your question directly, I did it myself, but I certainly thank you for that.
Well, it's a lot of fun, and the content is good. I like the many faces of S. Denise Newton. The painted face, I have that one up there right now.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, so there you go. You have to be careful what you put on the Internet today, Denise. Didn't they tell you that?
Yes. Absolutely, you sure do. You're absolutely right about that.
And so in your geography and in your home area, do you travel? Do you do book signings? Do you have other things coming up?
I just started doing, I have a book signing coming up actually on next Saturday, September 1st. I'm getting some media interviews now in the local newspapers, and I have been traveling to different cities and, you know, just speaking to youth, to churches, to women's groups, to African-American groups, because it's just so many different sections of the society that I want to reach. This is, you know, as you alluded to earlier, I want to cross cultural lines, gender lines, you know, faith lines. I'll talk to the Muslim. I'll talk to the Jehovah's Witness. It doesn't matter to me, because I believe that God has given me a message, and I want to share that message with whoever will listen, whoever has an ear and that will listen. I'd be glad to share it.
You look lovely in yellow. Is there a mister to go with Denise?
It is not, and I thank you for the yellow, because that's my favorite color. For saying that, and I love the color yellow, and I'm very fond of butterflies and doves as well. But no, there is no mister. Denise is flying solo these days.
Well, we've got it out there now on record right here at the Artist First Radio Network. You never know. So, brothers in Christ, here you go. Here's a lovely Christian. Let's take a look. Now, that's a different show. But Tony K.
Let me know when you do that one, because I want to be there to listen in.
Tony K. in the studio. Thank you so much, Denise, for your...
Thank you, Tony. Absolute pleasure.
For your kind spirit and the love that you have for our Lord and the work that you're doing, and you're having a great time at it. It's not drudgery, ball and chain. It's you're passionate about this topic, and you're getting some things done.
Thank you. Yes, absolutely. To God be all glory.
You know, often it takes a little longer to make a cake. The net result is it's yummy when we get there, though.
Yes. Absolutely.
So we're all a work in progress, and God has begun this journey for you. Do you envision more books?
Oh, wow. Absolutely. I'm about midway through the second one, because there is so much in this first one that I wrote, because I talk about so many things that now I'm going to take them and make individual ones and target specific items and issues. So, you know, next week it might be Bridging the Gap Between the Races. The next book, which actually what I'm working on right now, is how we can start the process of really, and I understand we've made some progress in race relations in this country. We certainly have. But the divide is still too great, and I want to touch on that issue a little bit too, about what we can do to come back together again as brothers and sisters, because skin color has nothing to do with you know, who we are. My skin color doesn't define me; it's my spirit that defines me, and so that's what I'm working on now. A simple way, especially with children, I don't want our children growing up figuring that they have to dislike one, you know, each other because they're different. So I'm working on that now.
Would you take a moment to introduce our audience to Roar, Reach Out and Recover? And audience, you'll see that there's a TM trademark next to the acronym and a link on our guest homepage. So tell us about it. How did it begin, and what's your end result? What do you hope to achieve?
What was ROARD, and that acronym does mean reach out and recover. And then I'm going to tell you, when I got the idea for that, it's just crazy, because it was the day that I went on the Lion Walk, and it was my Daniel moment, if you will, because to take pictures, and if you go to my Facebook page, you'll see, and I'm sure on my website too, you'll see where I took a picture, and that is not a Photoshop picture. I actually walk with lions. That's something that they do there as part of the tours in Zimbabwe. But when I stroked that lion and walked with him and rubbed his belly, and it was a male and female lion, and I didn't get, you know, ripped shreds. I considered that my Daniel moment. But I started to do a little research on the lion's roar. And when I found out that a lion's roar can be heard 5 miles away, and not only that, it can even cause a little dust cloud because of the veracity, the fierceness of the roar can actually cause a dust cloud, in a sense. And that the lion roars, basically, one, when it feels threatened, or two, when the lioness is seeking her, you know, trying to find her cubs, or trying to protect her cubs from predators. So I thought about us as people, and it's time for us to roar for the next generation, because we cannot keep perpetuating this violence, this hopelessness, this lack of decency and immorality. We cannot continue to perpetuate these things to the next generation. So it's time for us to stand up and roar to recover our families, our children, our communities, our country, our planet, and our faith, because those are a lot of things that have come under intense, attack in recent years. So it's just when we roar, we send the demons, we send the enemies away, because they'll be afraid of the roar. So that's the purpose of roar. And what I'm doing with that is going, doing yearly conferences and things to talk to youth in an effort to keep them from getting on the wrong path. And then it's so hard to get them back once we lose them, but trying to keep from losing subsequent generations. So that's what ROAR is all about.
Are you focusing then your education efforts on any demographic in terms of age or location?
You know what? I'm not, because all of us are in trouble. Initially it was because I am a part of the Black community. Initially, all of my efforts were going to the Black community, because when you look at these societal ills, I think the Black community is more impacted by these societal ills than other segments of the population. So yes, I did initially put my focus on Black America, but then working in the school system and working with Hispanic children, white children, Asian children, I began to see where everybody, every ethnicity, not just in terms of age, not even just children, but grown-ups too. You know, sometimes as grown-ups, we don't know everything that we need to know. There's some education that needs to go on with adults too in order to reverse some of these things that we're experiencing. So no, I don't have any particular target. It's just people in general, because right now I think we're all in a bit of trouble.
Spiritually sick.
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Spiritually sick. That's
yes,
where we
absolutely.
Are.
We're all spiritually sick, yes.
Depraved of understanding what is truly of eternal value, and to become sons and daughters of light, to be holy, to be as our Creator intended us to become, that process of walking that way in the light. This is all foreign, totally foreign to modern Christians.
Yes.
Because we're so steeped in and saturated by the world of technology. I mean, little infants are bouncing around in the back seat to the most vulgar, foul, deplorable messages you could imagine, and thinking
absolutely.
This is entertainment worth indoctrinating your child with.
Yes.
And then they open the door and they get out and go into the building we call our church.
Oh, good point. Good point. And there's too much compromise, I think, today. You can't compromise the gospel. You have to be real about this thing. because one day you're going to stand before a judging God. And I say this all the time, and people look at me as though I got three heads when I say this. But one day you're going to stand before, if you're claiming to be a Christian and walking in the ways of God and you know, and adhering to the scriptures, but you don't have love in your heart for your fellow man, or you know, or your walk seems contrary to what the Bible defines as a believer or a follower, and you know, you're going to stand before a judging God one day with blood on your hands. I just believe that because, you know, like I said earlier, when God has given all of us some sort of an ability to reach out to others, and if we're too complacent or selfish, you know, or unmotivated to do that, then we're allowing people to die on our watch, and we're going to have to be accountable for that. We are allowing people to die on our watch, and we have the means to stop it, you know, and it may not happen in this generation, but you still have to plant the seed, and that's all God expects from us. You just plant the seed. And it is God, somebody else may water, but it is ultimately God that will give the increase. But you have to be willing to plant the seed, and you plant the seed by using that talent that he's given you. And that way, those flowers to spring up will be flowers of change and progress. I really believe that.
This world is not my home. I'm just passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. Amen. The angels beckon me to heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Wow. I love
that. Lord, you know I have no friend but you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do?
Oh, I love that.
And this is our calling, brothers and sisters, to be illuminated by the light of Christ, to allow our skills that God has given us to bear fruit, to be an influence, to get involved in positive things spiritually, to be an example.
Mm-hmm.
This is a book you may buy and read and be blessed moderately and hand to someone else who'll be a flood.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
A flood of water. And you're a drop, but because the drop gave it to someone else, it became a great river.
Absolutely. Absolutely. If I might say this real quickly, the foreword to the book was written by Tandy Luhabe Rankle, who is the ambassador to South Africa. And here was a woman who was exiled from her country for 33 years or from her family because of her stand against the apartheid movement. She suffered during that time, and a lot of people were executed around her, and she didn't get to see her family anymore. For 33 years, she was in, you know, had to sort of be in hiding. But she taught me so much about standing up for something that you believe in, and you know, and not wavering from it, even if these bad things have to come. Like I said earlier, some of us we have to be willing to be martyrs and not worry about this side, because if we die on this side, you know, there is a much better place to go, what happened with Stephen in the Bible when he was stoned to death. But nevertheless, you know, just listening to her story, and she was actually put into that position as South Africa's ambassador by President Nelson Mandela, who was president at that time, but for 33 years to be without her family, without her homeland, because she's taken a stand against wrong. And just that has empowered me a lot to just go for it. And we can't be fearful with these type of ministries that God has given us. We can't be afraid, because we'll never get anywhere. We'll never impact anyone's life with fear, and he has not given us a spirit of fear. But we have to believe and just trust that he is going to open those doors that need to be opened so that we can do what he's called us to do.
S. Denise Newton, our guest on Authors First. Tony Kay in the studio. Thanks for being our guests worldwide. Be sure to follow the links for Denise's website. And audience, Denise is a playwright, spoken word artist, and activist. So much more going on in your life. You're juggling everything, and you're writing. You're going to continue to move forward there, and you have Roar. So you're a busy girl.
playwright. is there a connection here? You're going to use this information, your book, your research, to graphically play out on stage?
I certainly am. That's one of the things I want to do now is to, there's a lot of times when you bring things to life where people can get a real visual, you know, that's another way of reaching it. Because I've asked God to show me various ways that I can use this creativity that you've given me to reach people. So yes, through the plays, a lot of people enjoy watching plays. And you know, and one of the things that I want to do is bring some of the biblical stories to life on stage as well. And it gives people a visual. You know, Tony, for some people, we are the only Bible that a lot of people are ever going to see, and they're not going to pick up the book and read it. So we have to be creative in how we reach them. So if it has to be done through, you know, plays or spoken word or, you know, whatever we have to do, skits, you know, singing, whatever it has to do, whatever we have to use by any means necessary, you know, just legally and morally, that is, then we should be willing to do that. So, yes, to answer your question more directly, I definitely am working on some plays, and I'm putting together a spoken word CD, and I'm also, my book is, and I'm going to be recording the book in audio book here pretty soon, because I had someone who told me that she wants to read the book, but she doesn't read well. She's an older lady, and she said, can I listen to it on a tape or something? And because that one lady said, I want this book because I believe in what you're trying to do, but I can't read very well. So that has caused me to say, yes, I'm going to go in the studio, and I'm going to record the book as an audio book for that purpose, for those who may be hearing impaired or, I'm sorry, that may not be able to read, then I would do an audio book format. So I got quite a few things in the fire.
Denise, when you have a moment, look at Showbiz View on Artist First Radio, and get in touch with Lee Rad and get her some material. Maybe she'll direct it to Ray Dawn Chong.
Wow.
And she, of course, you know what she does.
Yeah,
makes movies and directs and so forth. And you could listen to an interview with her, of course, on Artist First Radio at showbizview.com. But we have available on demand. Just go there, boom, click. At any rate, Lee Rad, send her what you're doing, and Lee Rad can let Ray Dawn Chong know.
Wow. I certainly will. Gosh, thank you for that.
You never know.
You
never know. And we have film producers and actors, actresses, famous personalities that frequent Artist First Radio, and we're so grateful that they do, because a whole new audience come our way every week for quality content such as this show we're having right now with our guest, Denise Newton. So you're in good company over here, because these are all individuals who support the arts and who have a deep passion about certain causes. They're activists. They're engaged. They're getting their hands involved with the cause that they believe in. And, of course, we provide a voice for that here at Artist First Radio. So thank you for joining our ranks, being our guest, and letting us know what's happening in your life. And we know the Lord will continue to work marvelous things, opening new doors.
Thank you so much. I'm very honored. Thank you so much.
It's been our privilege having you on board. I know we've covered a lot of ground this hour. Thank you, audience worldwide, for joining us. Any other remarks, other topics that we've neglected to mention, or anyone out there on planet Earth you'd like to shout out to?
I just want to say to all of humanity, don't let the negativities that you see in our media cause you to not want to reach out to others, or to base your opinions of others on stereotypes or what someone else said. I really want to see a movement where we really, truly break down the walls of separation and because there are strength in numbers, and we can defeat these enemies and these evil forces that are destroying us if we would be willing to join forces and get it done. And that's what I say to you. If it's one small act, anything that you can do to make someone smile tomorrow, be willing to do it. Any small act, nothing is too small, but reach out to your fellow man in any way that you feel that God is leading you to do it.
For those who'd like to have an autographed copy, there's a mechanism to do that. Will your book, or are they available, I should say, the book's available by ebook? Kindle.
Yes, currently the book is on, it will be on Kindle by this coming weekend on Amazon.com. The print version is on Amazon.com now as we speak. We're getting it ready for Kindle, and it is currently on Smashwords.com, which is in ebook form. So you can go to Smashwords or Amazon and check it out now. And it will be on Kindle this weekend. So I think Saturday it should be on Kindle. So that's where we're working. And if you want an autographed copy, all you have to do is drop me an email. Go to Facebook again. It's Destinies Newton Afterthoughts. Drop me a line. I will be glad to send you an autographed copy.
The e-books are great as long as the person receiving them have the proper device to download the material. Okay, folks, so don't go out there and start buying it and then, well, what do I do now? Because you'll need the reader, okay?
Yeah, you kind of have an e-reader or Kindle or something like that to read the e-books. So.
And they can cost a few hundred dollars, is that right?
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right. They can cost up. Right now, I know the biggest thing is the Kindle Fire, which they can hold thousands of books. I think somebody said they had over 2,500 books on their Kindle. But the Kindle Fire, and they usually cost about right around $200. So, you know, for those who may not want to go that way, because some people don't like reading on a screen, if you would like the print version of the book, if you would drop me an email, I will ensure that you get it.
So let's use technology to God's purpose and His glory. And if you're going to buy your grandchildren or great-grandchildren one of these tools, then let's load them up with as much quality Christian content and proper value-oriented content that we can find, right?
Absolutely.
Let's give them a little help, okay? Because the world isn't going to be there to help us, that's for sure. But God bless you, sister. Thank you for being on board. Be sure to keep up the good work, and we'll keep you in our prayers. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Tony Kay in the studio. Have a good time sharing the broadcast. God bless.
Good night. Thank you.
Theme music provided by the generous contribution of Dr. William Cantor Woods. Thank you.